It's the radio, son. I'm going up and down the country. I don't think I'm on yet, brother. Got no volume, have we? My throat, my voice is bad, too. But they'll talk about the practicing homosexual and everything, and then talk about that they can get a change of lifestyle. They can get saved. One fella wanted me to go down there and protest at that Gay Pride Day in Atlanta. He said, "Will you go with us? We're going down there to preach." I said, "No." With the pastor, and I was in a meeting there, and this fella got up, supposed to be a preacher, and he said the Lord had put him in a ministry to the gays. He talked a few minutes, and I told that preacher, I said, "Hey, he's advertising." He said, "You think he is?" I said, "No, I know he is." And he was, they found out later he was advertising, letting everybody know that's what he was. Listen, these fellas that's for it, they may be advertising. If you're not against it, there's not much to you.
Amen.
That's right. I've been preaching almost 52 years, and I saw one in 52 years make a profession of faith, and he was not a practicing sodomite. He'd been led astray, kind of like the Corinthians. I think the Corinthians were. Such were some of you. I think they're led astray by adults. This fellow was 18 years old. He called the pastor and me in the office and acknowledged and confessed and said, "You think I can get saved?" I said, "Well, if the Lord has dealt with you, take sides with God against that stuff, there might be some hope." And so he made a profession. That's been 2 or 3 years ago now. And I was down there a while back, and he's still going.
Amen.
Still going to church, at least. I don't know whether he got saved or not. But the Lord knows. See, we believe what the Bible says, or we're supposed to. And Jesus explained the new birth better than anybody could explain it. A lot of people explain the way of salvation, say, "We'll tell you how to do this and tell you how to have eternal life." But Jesus explained to Nicodemus and said, "There's a wind that bloweth where it listeth." You can't explain the wind. You can't command it to blow, and you can't keep it from blowing. You could put your sail up in case it does blow. Some places it's not going to blow.
Right.
The spiritual wind not going to blow around one of these liberal churches. Because I think liberal is a sanctified word for liars. There's really not any such thing as a liberal preacher. You think there's any such thing as a liberal preacher? There's no such thing as a liberal politician. He's either a lying politician or a lying preacher, or he's a truth-telling preacher. Liberal is a sanctified word. It covers it up, makes it sound better. More religious, you know. Oh, they're saved, they're just liberals.
Yeah.
Ain't that something? You couldn't find a liberal preaching this Bible. John the Baptist is no liberal. Paul was no liberal. We're supposed to try to be like Paul. That's what he said, "Follow me." Well, I better not go on that. Okay. I'm kind of stirred up, though.
Amen.
I'm old, I can't holler real loud, but if I can holler loud, I'd holler louder. I'm going to read here in Luke 22. I want to get reading, but verse 31. Boy, it's been good. Last night, today, I really appreciate it. Luke chapter 22, again at verse 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You may be seated. I'm zeroing in on this word ready. Ready, some things that are ready. Now, Peter said, and I think Peter was sincere here, he said, I'm ready to go with thee both in the prison and to death. And he probably thought he was ready. And a lot of people think they're ready. But Peter wasn't ready. And many of us are not ready. The Bible has quite a bit to say about being ready. In John 7, verse 6, Jesus told the disciples, said, your time is always ready. My time is not here yet, but your time is always ready. In other words, you might die anytime. You might not make it till the sun goes down this afternoon. And we're told in Revelation 3 and 2, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. And so there's a lot of spiritual things ready to die that we Christians are supposed to try to be strengthening these days. Now, some saints are ready to stop. They're ready to stop. They're not ready to do what needs to be done. They faint in their mind because they don't consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And that's what you're told to do. Let you be worried and faint in your mind. When you faint in your mind, you stop. You're out of commission. You're not aware of what's going on around you. This kind of preaching ought to make us aware of what's going on around us and wake us up. We're awake. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the faith of God these days. Demas, Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Some folks are ready to run, ready to forsake, ready to stop. But some saints are ready to serve. And I'm hoping this meeting will stir us up and get us ready to serve the Lord. Paul, when he come to die, he said, I'm now ready to be offered. He didn't write a letter and say, now everybody dreads to die. We know everybody dreads to die. That's a modern thing. They said, well, you know what? Well, I think everybody dreads to die. Paul didn't dread to die. He said, I'm ready now to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. In fact, he said in Philippians 1, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. It's better over there than it is over here. And if we could get a glimpse of what's happening over there, we'd say, let us come today, Lord, be like Paul. I'm willing, ready. Already ready, Paul said. Ready to be offered. He knew the time was at hand. He knew he was about to leave. May God help us. We ought to sanctify the Lord in heart and be ready always to give every man a reason for the hope that's within us with meekness and fear. If somebody asks you, why do you believe in God? Why do you think you have any hope beyond this? Are you ready to give them an answer with meekness and fear? Do you remember the time when the Lord come to you, illuminated you, showed you your condition, your distance away from God, your corruption of your own heart, let you know what you was by nature, what you must be by grace? Are you ready to give an answer for the reason, the hope that's within you? You didn't have any hope. I was without hope. I remember what it is to be without hope. That means in a state of despair. I remember what it is to have a good hope through grace. And I remember what it is to rejoice in the blessed hope. Praise God. Are you ready to give every man answer, every man, give him a reason, the hope you have inside? You didn't just join the church, just go down forward, shake the preacher's hand, be led to profession. Have you been born again? Jesus said you must be born again. Amen. Nicodemus said, how can these things be? How can a man, when he's old, enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said to you, you must be born again. And the new birth is all of God. You can't give yourself the birth. I can't give myself the birth. You couldn't come unless he drew you. You don't have any faith unless he gives you some. You couldn't save yourself. You knew how to get saved. I've had people say, well, you think he knows how to get saved? That's what he couldn't save himself. He didn't know how. Right. But now, you know, if you're not in that realm, and a lot of people said, one fellow said about me, said, well, I couldn't have Brother Mitchell in here, said, because he was hard on my daddy. I said, you go back and tell him I didn't even know his daddy. I never seen his daddy. I was hard on what his daddy was saying. His daddy wasn't telling the truth. Denying lordship, denying repentance, denying the manifestation of the Spirit of God in the new birth. Listen, if you deny that, you're not saved if you deny those things. We know him because we know the Spirit. The Spirit has introduced him and made himself manifest in our heart. And we know with faith, nothing lost. You can't know God apart from the witness of the Spirit of God in your heart. You have to be born of the Spirit. Salvation is a birth. You can't give yourself the birth. See, and I said this yesterday, I'm going to repeat it. Folks have took the scriptures, misapplied them to people that not dealt with by the Spirit of God, and they've intellectually trusted what the verses say and know nothing about the person of the verses. Salvation's in Christ. They were getting saved under the New Testament before there was any New Testament scriptures. They didn't have it. They were New Testament Christians on New Testament ground. The book of Acts, but didn't have a New Testament. Ain't that right? So there's a preaching the Word of God. The living Word of God. They didn't have a copy of the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. I'm glad we do. But salvation's not in the Bible. Search the Scriptures, Jesus told the Pharisees. Friend, them in the Scriptures. You think you have eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify of me. You will not come to me that you might have life. So they believed the written word, the thought they did, the search of Scripture, and said in the Scriptures they thought that eternal life's not in the Scriptures, eternal life's in Christ, and the Scriptures let us know what God has done in Christ for us. Amen. Y'all believe that? I believe that. Sinners are ready to perish. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. All men's commanded to repent. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Of course, man can't do it by himself. You're told to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to God. He'll have mercy upon him and abundantly pardon. God's ready to pardon, but God won't pardon until you repent. And you can't repent till God breaks your heart, and you will. Amen. Repentance is not necessarily going to a Baptist mourner's bench. Repentance is the work of God in the heart. God breaks your heart and your will and produces godly sorrow toward God that you've offended God and his character. And faith is God breathing into you the faith to trust Jesus Christ as your only Lord and Savior. You can believe in him. When he gives you faith, savingly you can trust him. There is feigned faith and there's unfeigned faith. Now, Timothy's grandmother had unfeigned faith. And his mother had unfeigned faith. And Paul said, I trust it in you also. Some people have feigned, superficial, fictitious faith. Oh, they have a faith, but it's not the real saving faith. Saving faith never quits.
Amen.
Noah proved saving faith never quits. Enoch proved saving faith never quits. Paul proved saving faith never quits. You say, what about saints' sin? Oh, yeah, they may sin, but they're not going to keep on sinning. If they do, God kills them. That's right, he deals with us. You've been translated out of the world from the power of darkness. You've been made a new creature in Christ. You can't live in sin if you're saved. Well, these whiskey drinkers and poker players, women chasers, fellas are shacking up, they're no more saved than a jackrabbit.
Amen.
If God gets on the inside of you, he'll give you desire to pursue holiness.
Amen.
He puts a holy desire. You can't be as holy as you'd like to, but there's a holy desire inside. You're in pursuit of holiness all the time.
Amen.
You ain't running around two-thirds naked with a worldly crowd. I've been to church where they come in, you think going to a rodeo. Old women had bullfighting breeches on. You're almost embarrassing to be in some churches. Deacons taking up offerings in Bermuda shorts. In independent Baptist churches, you better be more than a Baptist.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to be a Baptist of some kind if you're saved. Many different kinds around here. But listen, being a Baptist is not what you need. You need to be a spiritual Christian, born of the Spirit of God, and ready to serve the Lord. Ready to give answer every man. Give him a reason for the hope that's within you with meekness and fear. Testify about the redeeming grace of God every once in a while. You got experience you know about? Now, I remember when they started training soul winners. They bring them in, you know, and tell them what to say to the fellas when they get and how to sell them the policy. Like training, you don't have to train a man that's got the experience. You go tell them what God's done for you.
Amen.
You're a witness. A witness knows something. I went over this a lot. Listen, a court won't receive hearsay what somebody else told you. A witness, a man's either convicted or acquitted on the way to the witnesses. That's what the Lord said. We be witnesses on him. You can't witness without the witness. You can't witness unless you know something. If you're on the witness stand, you got to say what somebody else told you. They throw that out. They won't accept that. Listen, we are witnesses of Jesus Christ. When you get saved, God makes the sufferings and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ real in your heart. You wasn't there, but you've been there by faith and been there in reality, because his redemptive work is real in your heart, and you got a testimony about the redeeming grace of God in you. I believe that. May God help us to be ready. Servants ought to be ready to preach. Paul said, I'm debtor, both the Greek and the barbarian, wise and unwise, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel here at Rome also. What are we ready to do? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, not to everyone, but to everyone that believeth. For therein, in the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as written, the just shall live by faith. So the first thing revealed in the gospel is the righteousness of God, not the grace of God and the love of God, the righteousness of God. Why did Christ have to die? Because God's righteous, thrice holy. God required a perfect sacrifice. And Jesus only could produce the perfect sacrifice. Don't forget this. He had to be born for us because Adam's blood was contaminated. And Jesus Christ had to become a flesh, God in flesh, had to be born for us, had to live for us, had to keep the law for us, had to go to the cross and die cursed under his own law, had to resurrect above that law and ascend in heaven to be our propitiation. It took all that to make salvation available to you. Somebody had to keep the law. We couldn't keep it. We come short of the glory of God. That is, we miss the mark. We can't produce perfection, and God requires perfection. He won't settle for anything short of perfection. You say, well, can you live perfect? No. But I'm not going up there on what I live. I'm going on what Jesus Christ did. He's my transportation to heaven. You can't go if he's not in you. What he's doing now, he appeared in the presence of God. He come down here for us, went back to heaven for us. Pretty soon he's going to appear again for us. All he did for us, he did for us. All he did down here, he did for us. Amen. By the grace of God, he takes the death for every man. That don't mean every man's going to be saved, but that means the penalty for the first Adam's sin has been paid for. Jesus Christ fully satisfied God, and he first died for the sovereign, second for the sinner. He didn't die first for sinners. He died first to satisfy God as a sweet-smelling savor offering. Don't you think we need to press that? Hebrews 9:14, he offered himself without spot to God through the eternal Spirit. Offered himself to God, to satisfy God. The only reason God could save fellows like us is because Jesus Christ satisfied God for us.
Yes.
Now God, for Christ's sake, can forgive us, and that's the only way he could forgive us and still be holy as he is. It's because Christ produced what we can produce, and through Christ and his finished work, he can fully forgive us. I say praise his name. Y'all believe that's right? I wish I could jump about a foot high, I would. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what the Bible said. I didn't know what the church believed. I just knew I was a terrible sinner, and they preached Christ to me. I just fell on that stone, and I was broken, and God, for Christ's sake, washed my sins away, regenerated my spirit, saved my soul, circumcised me inside, made me a new creature inside, and ruined the body dead. Praise God. I was going to heaven, and I didn't know what all took place. I got to reading the Bible, found out what all took place a little bit about it, and I got shouting because I realized more what happened to me.
Amen.
Praise God. That's why you got to have a church and a preacher preach to you. Somebody said, I believe in them do's and don'ts. You better start believing in them. Find out what you got in Christ, what you don't have in the world, what you left back there, and listen, get fed in the inner man that you might grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and live the abundant Christian life for Jesus Christ while you live down here.
Amen.
We can move in to an abundant life. Christ didn't die for us just to have life, but he said, come that you might have more abundant life. That's an overflowing portion of life. Not just phrase you ain't going to make it in. I told one fellow, he said, I just hope I can make it in. I said, if you're saved, you're already in. He said, I'm talking about heaven. I said, I am too. Positionally, we're right up there right now. See, God's right hand. If you're saved, accepted and the beloved. Already there. God's so eternal, he couldn't do a temporary work. He can't even have a temporary thought. We're so temporary, we couldn't have an eternal thought. Christ is in heaven, and the Bible said Christ is our life. The Bible said we're here with Christ and God. The Bible said we're accepting the beloved. The Bible said we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're heavenly citizens. Amen. Citizens of another country. Now down here, we're down here in body and up there in spirit. Christ is up there in body and down here in spirit. When he leaves up there, we leave down here and have a meeting in the air. You can't separate us from Christ. God accepts us because of Christ. And Christ is our propitiation, our satisfaction. We still live in a sinful world, in a sinful body. We're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God. And be ready to preach the gospel. Everybody saved ought to be a preacher. Not a pastor, not a traveling evangelist, but a witness. That's what a preacher is. A hurling preacher is not a gospel, not an offer. It's a proclamation. What God has done. Everybody saved, I'll be telling somebody else what God done for you. You know, let me say this. You know, we've been programmed all these years. We've been programmed that we got this pastor, and we're going to buy him some gas and buy him some groceries, maybe give him a little salary, and let him do all this, and that relieves us of our responsibility. So now he can visit all the sick, bury all the dead, marry all the young, kiss all the babies, be kind to dumb animals, and the church grows, and that relieves us of the responsibility. And if it don't grow, we think we ought to get rid of the preacher. You look in that Bible, there's all involved. It's all involved. There's elders in the church, of course, and leaders and overseers, but everybody was involved. They that were scattered abroad went, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. Acts 8:4. They all went everywhere preaching the word. Scattered abroad. You been preaching to anybody lately? Who have you told? You say, well, I don't know. Go to Walmart. Tell them what the Lord done. You'd be surprised how they'll shun you. You'd be surprised. You want to go out first? Talk about the redeeming grace of God. Talk about the blood of Christ, they'll let you go out first. Listen, don't you think we're too quiet about this? Are you ready to tell others? You should be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, outermost part of the earth. Yeah, I've had people say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, you know what God done for you. Tell them why you think you're saved. Amen. Tell them about the hope you have inside. Amen. Tell them about the Spirit of God's on the inside. I know it's getting quiet. I'm letting that soak in. Amen. You know, we've been programmed to think, you know, well, we've got this pastor. We got this fellow here. He's a good, got a lot of charisma, a lot of knowledge. He visits good and everything. So that relieves us of our responsibility. And we feel like that we're not responsible now. Our churches, our little churches are dying away. Right. Not on account of mountain country preachers, on account of people that don't have their responsibility at heart. Right. We ought not to let a day pass if you're able to get out. Or if you can use a phone, ought not to let a day pass. Zero in on somebody. I've been pressed lately. The Lord's really, really pressed me on this. Listen, we need to find somebody. Need to find somebody. Everybody won't be interested, but somebody will. If you don't want to go by yourself, get somebody else and go. And sit down in somebody's house and don't be a burden to them. Sit down 10 minutes and talk pretty fast and tell them about the redeeming grace of God. Have a prayer with them. Just kind of force it on them if you have to. Pray with them. You don't lead them to profession. Let them know that God's real in your heart. Don't you think that's right? I think we've let that slip. Don't you think so? Listen, the sovereign God's ready to pardon. It's not that he's not ready to save. He's ready. He's sitting on ready. He done everything. It was him that provided salvation for us. Actually, he provided the Savior. He provided salvation. He provides the Scriptures. He provides the Spirit. And he's actually got the supper set. A certain man made a great supper for his son. Sent his servant to bid them to come. Tell them all things are now ready. All things are ready. Salvation's ready. Salvation's available. Salvation's accomplished. Not many people want to come on God's terms. But salvation's available. Savior's there. Forgiveness is there. Regeneration's there. Reconciliation's on the table. Everything's on the table. Forgiveness, everything's there. If you'll come to the supper that's been prepared. But you've got to have an invitation to come. See, he said, you go and give them the invitation to come. That's what we're doing. We give them the invitation. Now, God gives a personal. We give a general. God gives a personal invitation. You glad God give you an invitation to come? Oh, blessed day when God give me an invitation. I wasn't looking for God. God's looking for me. I didn't go to church to hunting for God. I was in the world and sin liked it that way. I went because some folks asked me to go, and they was having a meeting over there acting like they love one another. Hugging necks and singing songs and praying and shouting across aisles and preaching like they could whip anybody in the house. And I got under what they call Sinai conviction. First time in my life I found out how lost. Now, I knew I was a sinner, but I didn't know I was lost. A lot of people know they're sinners, but they're not lost. They don't know they're lost. When you get lost, you get disturbed. You get confused. You get bothered when you get lost. People living in sin not bothered, they're not lost as far as they know. If you're not bothered, you better be bothered. When I got really bothered. Now, they didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't tell them. They didn't ask me. I just come and went. And they acted like they was happy about what they was doing. And so I went back a few times. I still didn't get it. I didn't get it. I'd raised around old-time services and things, but see, I was dead toward them things. I didn't know what was going on. I was blinded by the God of this world. My heart was darkened. My ears were dull of hearing. My throat was open sepulcher. My tongue used deceit. My feet just run swift to mischief. Hands shed innocent blood. I was just wicked inside and outside and had no desire for spiritual things until then. And I went back and I kept going back. And God turned the looking glass of his law on me. By the law of the knowledge of sin, you know. First work of the Holy Spirit is not to tell sinners that God loves them and Christ died for them. First work of the Holy Spirit is to reprove the world of sin. Because they believe not on me. That is the rebels against truth and light. I'm going a little slow there. Because, you know, nowadays, about everybody, now God loves you and Christ died for you. One time I was sitting with a fellow over here in North Carolina, and the fella talked about love for about 15 minutes, and I believe in the love of God, and I know God's a God of love. He kept talking about love. You know, you'd have thought he's about to hug the devil's neck. And I was sitting there with a fella, and I said, you think God hates anybody? He said, I don't know, does he? I said, turn over and read Psalm 5:5. See if the Lord hates the workers of iniquity. See, if you miss everything else I say, don't miss it. If there's nothing to you hatred, there's nothing to your love. He that loves the Lord hates evil. You know how much you love the Lord? It's as much as you hate evil. When you get saved, walking in light, you come to hate the sin that dwells in your own body. Don't you hate the sin that dwells in your own body? Don't you hate that nature that's always wanting to raise up and cause you problems? Oh, that's what it says. Now, I know that's not popular preaching. People hadn't heard that in so long, you know. They go away and say, well, that preacher said God hates some folks. I'm telling you what the book says. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The wicked should be turned into hell with all nations that forget God. I didn't put those verses in the Bible. First thing I found out that I was a child of wrath, not a child of love. That the wrath of God was abiding on me. That I didn't love God. I didn't love holy things. I didn't want anything that was right and good. I wanted my own way. And my will rose up against the will of God. And they kept on preaching. And God kept on hammering. And God kept on hammering. After a while, he crushed my will. My will was broken. If your will has never been broken to submit to God, you'll never have got saved. Yet God breaks your will. And God gives you faith to trust Jesus Christ and grant you repentance unto life. Salvation's of the Lord. You can't produce it. God produced it for us. God uses his word. Nothing like the word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and to discern the thought and intent of the heart. No other instrument in the world will pierce and divide asunder the soul and spirit like the word of God will. It's the only thing that will divide asunder. Show you your spiritual dead man. Your spirit has been made alive. Regeneration's God quickening your spirit and making you alive toward God. See, that's what the Bible means when we talk about sinners being dead. Their spirit's dead toward God. Dead toward God. They have no desire for God. They're dead toward God. When Adam sinned, his spirit died toward God. He didn't run to God. He ran from God. Hid himself among the garden, trees of the garden. So sinners are dead toward the things of God. You've got to have something carnal to entertain them if you keep them coming. You've got to have a ball team or a bowling team, or you've got to have an entertaining preacher. You've got to have things like that that don't say anything contrary to the will of the flesh. Needs of flesh if you keep them coming. Now, spiritual people, they've been born in the Spirit. Spirit's on the inside of them. They know the difference. They're the only ones that do know the difference. Other people don't know the difference. They just don't know the difference. You can't teach a man to love God. You can teach him about the love of God, teach him what the Bible says about the love of God, but he has to love God first inside. Then you can instruct him how to love God more, how to do more right. If he's been made alive in Christ, you can feed him with sheep food. But if he don't have the Spirit of God in him, he's not a sheep. You can't feed him with sheep food. You got to have something carnal. That's why they quit these churches and go down here, because they have things for the young folks down there. That means they're playing games down there.
Amen.
That means they're playing games down there, and they got somebody that's been off to school and trained how to be a youth director and how to keep them feeling good in their sins, keep them involved in things that sounds good spiritually. You know, and sounds good. You know, you can't make grown-ups out of kids. You got to let them do all these things they say, you know. It's okay for them to wear their shorts and stuff like that and play games. That's what they're doing. You know, they go over there and have youth services sometime while they're preaching inside over here. Anybody know Zach White's getting here besides me? They're ready to go with that. People are ready to go with that. Need to be ready to come away from that.
Amen.
Be ready to come away from that. Don't be misled with this bunch of religion today. And somebody mentioned politicians a while ago, and I'm going to say this before I quit. There's one time that politicians tell the truth, and that's when they say that other politicians are lying. Give that some thought. They do. Because you know, you couldn't talk as much as some of them does not tell no lies. They might be like Peter. They might intend to be ready to do something, but they might not be able to do it. That's like us a lot of times. We're ready. We're like old Peter. Not me. I don't see why you chose them other fellows anyway. You ought to got them all like me. Don't you think Peter thought that? Peter was a good man. I couldn't even get in his shadow. He walked on the water and everything else. But Peter, he's kind of boastful. It took the Lord a good long while to get him down broke. You know, he said, I'll never deny you, not me. You can count on me. He's a broadcaster when they ought to have been tuned in. But you know what? He denied and cussed, but he didn't get by with it. When the Lord looked at him, he remembered what the Lord said, went out and wept bitterly. He remembered what the Lord said to him and went out and wept bitterly. That's what we need to do. Realize the Lord's looking at us. We need to go weep over our sins. Weep over our shortcomings. Amen. And we got plenty of them. I've got plenty of them. May God bless you. My preaching not much, but I hope you'll take this other preaching to heart. Take it to heart, hoping to stir you up. It's got me stirred up. I'm a pretty old man. It takes a whole lot to stir me up. I'm kind of stirred up about this, this much as a young man. I'm ready. I'm even ready to preach if I could. I'd cry. I'd holler louder if I could. You ready? Sinners are ready to perish. You ready for the Lord's coming? He's coming in such hours, you think not. Be also ready. You know, I think saints are ready to go with him when he comes, but I don't think we're ready for the judgment seat. The judgment seat's what's going to be bad, but it's going to be, it's better further on for us. May God bless each one of us. Let's bow for a prayer. Father, we do thank you for salvation by grace. Thank you for that great love, Lord, you planted in our heart. And others, Lord, it's here. It's born of love. We pray that you'd help us to love you more, love you better. Help us to do better, Lord. Help us to be a better Christian and a better preacher. Seal the word of God up in our hearts, Lord, we've heard today. Oh, God in heaven, we pray that you'd revive us again. We pray for our nation, Lord. You'd have mercy upon us. Lord, we look at these children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Lord, what future they have in a world so perverted and filled with reprobation. I pray, dear Lord, you would have mercy and hold back the forces of evil, dear Lord. Help us, our Father, be strong in you and in the power of your might. Give us victory, Lord. Bless every Christian that's here. Give us judgment day honesty, Lord, as we try to live our lives for thee in this world. Bless all these preachers, blessing the service tonight. May your will be done, save souls, bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' blessed name of thanksgiving, amen. God bless you.